Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service. Good morning. My name is Lindsay Slocum. I'm the lead pastor at Kairos, and I am so delighted you're here for Palm Sunday and so excited to get to spend Holy Week together. This morning, I have a loop that I walk every morning. And this morning, I was walking past one of the houses that's very close to ours, and it's that house that lots of you, I'm sure, have that house that's close to you, but it's the house that's really committed to decorating. And you know, like the way they have all of the inflatables at Christmas time or the 4th of July, Uncle Sam's marching through their yard, whatever. And so this house that I was walking past this morning, I guess I've missed it. I've been on spring break this week. So I was seeing it for the first time. They had all their Easter decor out. There's a giant inflatable Easter bunny and giant Easter eggs all over their yard. But right at the very front of their yard, there's a big cross. They had a big cross. And on the cross, it said, "He is risen." And I thought, not yet, not yet. Don't raise them up yet. And so I was thinking this morning as we're gathering together, Joe walked through that whole Holy Week schedule with you. And what I want to really encourage you is to let's lean into this week. Because what's coming, we know it's exciting. We know it's powerful. We know that there's no other story like it, that God defeated death for the love that God has for us. But there's this really powerful story that we have that leads up to that. And so this morning we'll start that story with Palm Sunday. And then I really, really, really want you to come have dinner with us on Thursday as we think about this new commandment that Jesus gave us to love in this big, powerful way. And then Friday as we gather together and literally as the darkness will unfold around us on Friday as we think about what did Friday mean for Jesus and what does Friday mean for us. And then we'll gather together then next Sunday again to celebrate that really he is risen. And it'll be big and exciting, but as we think about our own spiritual lives, let's lean in together to Holy Week and be really thoughtful and intentional about that time. I'll remind you that our sermon series that we've been doing all through Lent, we've based off of N.T. Wright's book, From Wilderness to Glory. And in From Wilderness to Glory, he does devotions for each day. And so maybe if you haven't been following along, which is totally fine, I don't follow every week either, it's fine. But you could, maybe that's a thing we could do this week, is to read through those devotions, or maybe you'll wake up each morning and commit to saying the Lord's Prayer. But some sort of discipline and intentionality around this week for Holy Week. I really want to invite you in to that we would be thoughtful and faithful together as we really pay attention this week about what this means for us. So this morning then for Palm Sunday, we're going to look at that passage together. We're going to use the Gospel of John, John's account of this story from chapter 12. But before we read this scripture together, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, we are so grateful, Lord, that we have this hope that we know to look forward to. And so, Lord, we pray then that you would take us along that journey this week, that starting this morning as we look at Jesus among the crowds and what that means, God, that you'd bring us in, that you would teach us, mold us, shape us, and draw us ever closer to you. So speak, God, speak through your word that we would hear you. God, that this encounter with you would be so powerful, we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I'll invite you to listen to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, starting at verse 12. Listen now for the word of the Lord. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The little beach town that my family goes to every year for our summer vacation has this really, really sweet tradition for the 4th of July. They have a bike parade. Everyone that's in town brings their bikes, their wagons, their scooters, whatever you have with wheels on it, and they gather together in this like city square area. Everyone, it is packed. You can see the picture with all of the people in it. That is the one of them gathering in the square. Everybody's coming together, and they've got confetti, and there's streamers, and people tie speakers to their bikes so they can blare "American Woman" or "God Bless the USA." They wear costumes, and everybody gathers together, and then they ride all through the little town. Every year, I get so tickled about this parade. Because there's bajillions of people parading all through town. No one is watching the parade. No one gathers to watch the parade. It's just thousands and thousands of people riding their bikes. And those of us who might be out on a walk or making our way to breakfast, we see them. But you can see in this other picture, nobody's standing on the edges of the road to watch the parade. Everybody is in the parade. And I was reading this article about kind of the philosophies behind a parade, and the idea is that everybody is in this parade together because everyone wants to be part of it. Being part of this parade means you're making a statement together as a community. And so everybody wanted to be part of this celebration, make the statement that we're all celebrating together. And so when I read this passage in the book of John, I kept thinking about this parade at the beach, the beach bike parade. I think in John, there probably is this same energy to this parade, right? It's exciting. The Messiah is coming to town, and everybody has heard about this Messiah, and everybody wants to see him. They want to meet him. They want to welcome him. Some people in the crowd maybe have seen him before. Maybe they traveled to go hear him speak somewhere, and so they tell their friends, "Oh, this is an amazing speaker, you need to come and see him." I bet some people had even seen him perform a miracle a time or two, and they've been telling everybody about these miracles that this man has done. I mean, who's ever seen anything like feeding thousands and thousands of people with only 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish? It's amazing. These people have been talking about this Jesus and for the last 3 years or so, but now he's raised Lazarus from the dead. It's all anyone can talk about now. I mean, think about it, this man is dead. There's no pulse, there's no breath, there's nothing. And Jesus just walks in and says, "Get up," and the guy does. Everybody is talking about this rabbi who is different. So when they find out that he's coming to town, they rearrange their schedules, they get their dog sitters, and they come to see this man, Jesus. They want to line up with him. They want to make a statement about this is the community that we want to be part of, this man who does these amazing things. We want to be part of celebrating in this parade. The interesting thing is, however, on the west side of town, entering in the west gate of Jerusalem, the Romans have sent in their own parade. See, Passover, when the Jewish people are gathering together for Passover, thus they're celebrating their freedom from the oppression from the Egyptians. The Romans don't want the Jewish folks getting all excited about remembering how they were freed from oppression before, so they need to send in their own people. Make a statement about who's in charge. And so coming into the west gate is the governor of Judea and Samaria and Idumea, Pontius Pilate. So Pontius Pilate comes in to make a statement on behalf of the Romans so that people will know what's going on, to establish a Roman presence. I read a description that says that he would come in at the head of a column of soldiers to show Roman imperial power, a display of the military and magisterial strength of the great Roman armies and the mighty Roman Empire, that their foot soldiers, men on horses, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on metal and gold, the sounds of marching feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums, the swirling of dust, the eyes of silent onlookers, some curious, some awed, some fearful, some resentful. So on the west side, there's this display of power in a parade, an appearance of importance, you could say a facade of authority. But regardless of the statement that they're trying to make, the fact of the matter is that the people aren't joining in on this parade. They don't want to be a part of that community. They don't want to align with those who have demonstrated power over them. It was not a parade of joyful and celebration. It didn't indicate the ethos of the people. So it's interesting then when we compare the parade on the west side with the parade on the east side, this one that Jesus is the center of. Because when you look at him, Jesus' parade, there's no military entourage. There's no majesty. There's no pageantry. It's just Jesus sitting on a donkey. And a crowd who's getting really excited. And there's several things here. There's actually three things that the crowd does here that shows us who they believe Jesus to be. The first one is that John tells us that they grab palm branches, and it seems like a really odd thing to take to a parade, a palm branch. But we heard earlier in Psalm 118 that tells us to bind the festal procession with branches to celebrate the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So they grab up their branches. But what's interesting is that the Gospel of John is the only one who tells us specifically their palm branches. So if we go all the way back to 160 BC, Judas Maccabeus leads the Israelites to victory over the Syrians. And when that victory happens, when they are freed from that oppression, the people wave palm branches to celebrate the victory. And to commemorate that victory, Judas Maccabeus had the image of the palm branch stamped on their coins, on their money, that they're going to use every day. So that always, every day, they are reminded of this victory. So this palm branch then becomes this symbol of political victory. And so when Jesus is coming through and the people grab the palm branches, what they're saying is, we know that you're the one who has the power to do something about the situation we are in. This is a person of authority. This is someone who can be victorious. This is someone who can help us. And while they're waving these palm branches, we hear them shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna, the word Hosanna means save us. So they're calling out to this man to save us from the Roman rule, save us from the enemy, save us from the one who has lorded power over us. They want Jesus to be someone who can save them. And the last thing we see that the crowd is doing as Jesus is coming through, they're shouting Hosanna, they're waving their palm branches, but John's gospel also tells us that they are actually, as they shout, they are calling him King. They say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. It's as if they know that we've seen you do all these amazing things. We've seen you help people. We've seen you heal people. We've seen you feed people. So surely, if you can raise Lazarus from the dead, you can be the kind of king we've been wanting, the kind who can do something about the situation that we're finding ourselves in. And so the people decorate their bikes with the palm branches, and they get excited, and they join in this parade, because here is someone who can fix all of the things that have been wrong. They're in the midst of a time when they are feeling real hardships in their lives. They're worried and they're fearful and they're anxious and they're angry. They need someone to fix that which is broken. They need someone who can be king enough, big enough, strong enough to fix this. And so they show up for this parade, this day, and they're desperate for this man to be the one. They're desperate for this to be a time of rejoicing and celebration and fixing. I wonder if that's part of what we love so much about Palm Sunday. This festive parade, the kids come in and they're waving their palms because we also want to be part of a community that's rejoicing and celebrating. We want to decorate our bikes and ride around with classic rock blaring from our speakers. We want to shout in jubilee because, yes, there's finally someone who can fix this. We want to know there's an answer for that which hurts, that someone can end the areas where we struggle. We look at our lives and we know that we have a need for a king in our lives. And so we show up this morning and we want to claim that which is victorious and happy. We want to cry out, Hosanna. We want Hosanna from depression and the things that are difficult. We want Hosanna from the rifts in our marriage. We want Hosanna from the judgment of our parents. We want Hosanna from the struggles of our children. We want Hosanna because we need a king, and we want to celebrate because we want to know that we have finally found someone that will fix things. And we show up because we want Jesus to be the kind of king that we want Jesus to be. So we join in with the crowds, decorating our lives and holding our breath for something more than streamers and confetti to make us whole again. Here's the little thing that John is going to give us, though. John tells us that the crowd goes over and above to declare Jesus is king. He says that they're waving palm branches and they're shouting Hosanna and they're calling out that he's king. The crowd is showing up wanting Jesus to be this thing. And then John gives us this little detail that I don't want us to miss because it's really super duper important. It tells us that Jesus finds a young donkey and sits on it. Not a war chariot, a young donkey. Which seems kind of lackluster for a parade. In the Old Testament, though, King Solomon, the king who is known for being wise and a king who rules in peace, King Solomon rides a donkey to his coronation. So we see Jesus emulating that, right? Showing us, I'm going to be a king who's coming in peace. I'm going to be a king who is wise. And as he comes in, we get this quote from Zechariah. This says, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." He quotes the prophet who is describing the king who will come and will end the war, but will do it in peace. Basically, what John tells us is that Jesus is saying to them, you're right, I am the king, but I'm not here to fight your enemies. I'm not coming to just relieve you from that which is hard or painful or burdensome in your own life. I am a king who comes in peace, and my reign is for the whole earth, from the end of the earth to the end of the earth. Do you see what John is doing here? The people are calling out for Jesus to be the king that they want him to be. And Jesus responds by saying, yes, I am the king, but not necessarily the king you want me to be. Because I'm bigger than that. I'm paying attention to everything that's going on in the history of my people. Jesus isn't molding to our demands for him to be the political or militant or whatever other kind of king that the crowd keeps asking him to be. The king who fixes things for us and relieves us from our heartache. The king who gets us the job we want or the health we desire or the relationship with our parents or kids or friends that we crave. We gather together today at our parade and wave our palm branches and beg Jesus for be the king that we are looking for. But Jesus rode in on a donkey. Jesus quoted the passage from Zechariah. John is clear. The one who comes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is king. The king that the world needs. No one who was waving branches in that crowd that day expected Jesus to willingly go to a cross. They showed up because they were looking for a personal miracle worker. They were waiting on Jesus' showdown with the authorities. They wanted and expected a revolutionary to overthrow the status quo. Indeed, they showed up that Palm Sunday hundreds of years ago just to learn there's more than that. There's more than that. That faithful day many moons ago when the streets were crowded with people looking for hope and looking for something to rescue them, that they were looking for someone to change things, that they were gonna get even more than that. The crowd is not the only one who lays their expectations on Jesus. We are too. We were happy to lay our palms out and sing praises as long as Jesus is our kind of king. As long as Jesus hears our hosannas. But this morning we have to admit, as we wave the palms and sing hosannas like the crowd, we're celebrating our own expectations. When Jesus came in riding on that donkey and quoting that passage, it's clear he's not here to meet our expectations. He's not here to be the kind of king we are demanding him to be. Because Jesus is committing to being God's kind of king. And that's good news. Because that's the kind of king that's going to love the people so much, that's going to love that parade so much, that he's going to make his way all the way to the cross and hang there. Because Jesus is the kind of king who would rather die than live without us. So maybe this year for the parade, maybe instead of waving our palms and calling out for Jesus to be the kind of king that we are describing, who acts like the king we are looking for, who's going to meet our own expectations, maybe this year we jump into the parade and wildly declare the king God has given us. Maybe this year, the palms are a reminder to us to lean into this week ahead, to watch, to marvel at what God does, at how God exceeds our individual definitions, but instead shows us grace and mercy and depth of God's love in a way that only God can do. So friends, hear this good news. Prepare the way. Hear Jesus' assurance to all of us. Do not be afraid, daughters, sons, children. Our King is coming, and it is more than we could have asked or imagined. Thanks be to God. Amen.